Hi there, and welcome to session 10 of What the Cluck. Stay tuned while we discuss 8 easy ways to save megabucks while raising chickens. Hi, this is Matt from Frugal Chicken, and welcome to session 10 of What the Cluck, a podcast devoted to keeping chickens for fun and self-sufficiency. Today we'll go in depth on 8 ways you can save megabucks while raising chickens, and I promise you won't be disappointed. Now, like you, I don't have all the money in the world, so we look for ways to reduce costs while still raising a happy and healthy flock. I've learned over the years various ways to cut corners without compromising on the quality of life my chickens have or the quality of food we produce for us to consume. In fact, many of the things we talk about today are fairly inexpensive ideas to implement, but are actually much better for your chickens. So let's get into it. The first way to cut costs is to ferment your feed. So what does this mean? If you use commercial feed, you can soak it for underwater for up to 48 hours using some sort of starter like whey or fermented vegetable juice. If you use a homemade feed, whether you need a starter depends on what's in your feed, but the idea of soaking the feed for up to 48 hours remains the same. In essence, what you're doing is creating an environment that allows beneficial bacteria to grow. These beneficial bacteria are a good thing. Studies show that it helps boost your chickens' immune systems, and they lay eggs that are better for you. Studies also show that eggs from chickens that eat fermented foods are lower in pathogens such as salmonella and E. coli and are lower in cholesterol. They also have more vitamin D and A and beta carotene. Now we go in depth on fermented feed, its advantages, and how to make it in my course, Feeding Your Hens Right. So if you're looking for guidance about how to ferment different feeds, that's a resource that's there for you. And the URL is feedingyourhensright.com, all one word. There's videos in that program where I show you exactly what to do and what to look out for. The next thing you can do to save money while raising chickens is feeding only what they'll eat, so there's no wasting. And this goes for whether you use a homemade feed or a commercial feed. One option is to hang feeders. This helps reduce waste because they can't scratch through it, and it also prevents them from soiling their feed. Once the feed gets soiled, chickens can get kind of picky about it, and even if they don't get picky, you don't really want them eating it anyways, because chicken guts are loaded with nasty pathogens like E. coli, Campylobacter, and Salmonella, which we discussed a bit above. Another option is to place a plastic mat under their feeder to catch whatever falls down, and then feed it back to them. Of course, this takes some maintenance, and you'll have to check it often and replenish it often. Because as your chickens drop feed onto the mat, they might poop on it, thereby soiling it, and you definitely don't want to feed them that. So if you do place a plastic mat under their feeder, you will have to go back quite frequently to check it and to make sure that it isn't too soiled or anything. So a third option is to build a PVC feeder that free feeds, but only feeds a little at a time. You can make this with a straight piece of PVC to hold the feed and a curved piece, which is where the chickens will actually eat from. This setup costs only a few dollars to create, but can potentially save you a bundle. If you do make one of these, I suggest going with a 3 or 4 inch PVC so it's wide enough to actually hold enough feed and the chickens can eat from it easier, get their heads in there easier, their beaks into it easier, etc. You can also only offer feed for a set period of time, for example, 20 minutes to a half an hour, and remove it after so that they don't toss the feed everywhere. This again takes some maintenance and you'll have to stay on top of it. If you're like me and multitask, which means you forget things a lot, this might not work. But if you like watching your chickens eat, like interact with them while they feed, then this option will work well for you. The third thing you can do to save money while raising chickens is create a mealworm farm and then feed the mealworms to your chickens. While this takes a bit of money to set up, it's not a huge investment and doesn't take much time. Yes, you're going to have to touch creepy crawlies, but my guess is if you have chickens, you're not too concerned about touching insects, right? You can always wear gloves. Now, the idea here is you purchase mealworms and have them breed in plastic containers so you have an unending supply of protein for your chickens. And mealworms are an excellent source of protein. So where do you buy mealworms? You can buy them off Amazon, and you can go to thefrugalchicken.com/mealworms for the ones I recommend, and I'll put that link in the show notes. You can also buy them locally if you have a local supplier, or from other online sites. You want to make sure you're buying live mealworms so they're able to reproduce, and there's some debate about buying by the count or by the pound. So when you go buy mealworms online, some sellers sell them by the count, meaning you can buy 1,000 mealworms or 200 mealworms, you get the picture, or you can buy them by the pound, meaning you'll buy 1 pound or 5 pounds of mealworms or whatever the seller sells them by. Like I said, there's some debate about whether it's better to buy by the pound or by the count. I believe it's better to buy by the count, and the reason is because when you buy by the pound, you might be getting big worms or little ones, who knows? You only know you're getting a set poundage, you don't know how many you're getting. When you buy by the count, you know the amount you're getting, and because your goal is to breed these mealworms to feed the offspring to your chickens, you can be fairly sure you're getting enough to really supplement part of their feeding program. Does that make sense? Even if they're tiny, they'll grow to become adults, and if they're adults, then they can breed right away. Either way, you know you'll have enough to set up a sustainable breeding program. Now, for your mealworms, you can use oatmeal as bedding and feed them scraps like carrots to sustain them. You will have to move them around as they breed, but you can use a spoon or gloves so you never have to actually touch them. Other than that, they're very low maintenance and very healthy for your chickens. My chickens go nuts over mealworms, and it's really like kids on Christmas morning when they see I have the mealworms for them. Similar to mealworms, you can offer red worms, also known as red wigglers, to your chickens, and in some ways, these are easier to acquire and require less maintenance than mealworms. And these are the same worms you add to your soil or compost to improve the soil. You can purchase these red worms at bait shops locally or online. See thefrugalchicken.com/redworms, that's all one word, red worms, for a supplier I recommend on Amazon, and I'll also put that link in the show notes. So, like mealworms, you can purchase red worms by the count or by the pound, and I recommend again buying them by the count. To house red worms, you'll need some material like newspapers and cardboard as a bedding substrate and a bit of dirt to start them out, and of course, they'll need food. Unlike mealworms, you don't need to move red worms around unless they grow too big for their container, in which case, you'll have to move them to either a larger bin, feed more to your chickens, or split up your worm population into different containers. You can feed them whatever kitchen scraps you have, and that's pretty much what they'll eat. They breed easily, and you'll have an active supply of protein for your chickens. One idea is to feed the worms to your chickens in your garden when you're not growing anything the chickens can destroy, that is, which means that you can spread the worm castings in your garden while feeding your chickens, and their scratching will integrate the castings into your soil. That's a pretty nice way to multitask, don't you think? Now, the only thing about red worms you have to keep a watch on is your population to make sure that you don't accidentally plow through all of your worms at one time. Now, in a similar vein, you can also save money feeding your chickens by letting them scavenge in your compost pile. Chickens will eat whatever it is you're composting, but more importantly, they'll eat bugs, worms, larvae, and whatever else is in there, all the while working your compost to decompose it faster. They'll also add their own manure to the mix, increasing the power of your compost. While chickens shouldn't eat only compost, this is a nice green way to add to their diet, and your chickens will love it because it gives them something exciting to do. So the next thing you can do to save megabucks when raising chickens is grow as much of their feed on your property as possible. And of course, you'll need to use a homemade feed recipe if you do that. On the blog, I have a great recipe, which is also pretty popular on YouTube. In the show notes, I'll put a link to it, and you can find it on the Frugal Chicken YouTube channel at thefrugalchicken.com/YouTube. Now, the first question I'm sure you have is how do you know how much to grow? Start with how much your chickens eat and reverse engineer to figure out how much to grow. A good crop to start with might be wheat or millet, which are high in protein but require little space to grow. And even if you can only grow half or a quarter of what your chickens eat, and then use commercial feed to make up the difference, some is better than none. At the same time, you can use chicken manure to enhance your soil that you grow their food in, making this a nice way to close the circle, so to speak. On our farm, we grow wheat, peas, and greens, and we're considering trying oats. But the wheat and peas are super simple to grow and harvest, so that's where we get the most bang for our buck. If you don't have a lot of time, you can start with as much as you can do and improve from there. In the same vein, sprouting seed is one of the least time-consuming ways you can save when feeding your chickens. All you need is a bucket, some water, and some seed you know will sprout. When you sprout seeds into fodder, you take a fixed amount of nutrients and exponentially multiply it until it becomes something more nutritious than it was before you sprouted it. A good one to start with are peas for pea shoots, which are very nutritious for people and animals, and another one I like are sunflower seed shoots. Chickens love sunflower seeds, and they're great for cooler weather because the seeds have a lot of fat in them. Chickens also love the sprouts. So chickens are getting the benefit from the seed itself, from the shoot, which is grown, and also the roots. But possibly my favorite seed to sprout is wheat, in part because it's plentiful in my area, but also because it's relatively cheap, about $6 for a 50-pound bag. And wheat has a lot of protein in it, so your chickens get the benefit of fresh greens, but also an extra amount of protein. Wheat is also really, really easy to sprout and grow. Doesn't require much space or light. Mostly it requires warmth and moisture. You can also sprout barley, which is popular, and it grows faster than wheat. I noticed that barley takes 5 or so days before it's about 2 to 3 inches in height, while wheat takes about 9 days. I personally grow wheat because it's easy to get in our area, and for something like barley, I would have to have it shipped to me. And again, in my course, Feeding Your Hens Right, we go in depth on fodder and how to grow it and how to avoid things like mold and what mistakes to avoid. And again, that URL is feedingyourhensright.com. I would say that sprouting fodder is the best way we save on feeding our chickens, and they're satisfied to get something fresh. So the final way we'll talk about today to save money feeding your chickens is to use produce from the grocery store or restaurant. And in this case, the food is still good. It's not completely rotten or anything, but the grocery store can't sell it for whatever reason. Maybe it has a spot on it, or in some cases, they give us leftovers from making those fruit cups you see at the market, or the things of pre-chopped vegetables that you can buy. It's okay to feed your chickens produce as a treat or as a small portion of their diet, but I don't recommend it as their entire diet. And of course, there are some foods you need to avoid, like potatoes and onions. But if you're particularly hard up and it's either feed your chickens produce from the grocery store or let them starve, then this is a good option. We do actually do this. We receive food every week or so from a local supermarket. And what we did was we talked to their produce manager. In my opinion, don't try anyone else because they'll just refer you to the produce manager. Try a local mom-and-pop store. Don't try a major chain or anything. You probably won't be successful, but a small store might be happy to work with you. In our case, the produce manager at our local grocery store didn't want to throw the food away, but before I came along, she didn't have any option. So it's really a win-win situation for both of us. So what I do is when I go to a new location, a new grocery store, I feel them out a bit. So I might talk to someone in the produce section and ask what they do with the food that can't be sold, and engage them a bit in conversation to see if there's an opening to ask. It warms them up a bit before asking if they want to give the produce away. Most of the food goes to our pigs, but the chickens do get some fresh stuff like grapes, strawberries, and the like. An excellent, excellent way to extend the power of this free food is to ferment it. And we talked a bit about fermenting, but for produce, it's especially good if you can't keep it all in your kitchen. We get so many boxes that we can't bring it all inside. We just don't have the room for it. So I ferment it in 5-gallon buckets, and the food keeps really, really well that way, and becomes a more beneficial food because of the beneficial bacteria and everything that comes along with fermenting. This is a good way to add probiotics to your chicken's diet, but like I said, it should not be the bulk of what you feed them. Well, I hope this podcast provides some insights into ways you can save money feeding your chickens. There's a lot of good ideas here that have worked well for me on my homestead, and hopefully one or two of these ideas will work for you. As always, feel free to contact me with any comments or questions, and be sure to check out other chicken-related articles on my blog at thefrugalchicken.com. If you like this podcast, please feel free to give it a review and ratings in iTunes. I would definitely appreciate it. And don't forget to subscribe to What the Cluck on iTunes so you never miss an episode. If you haven't checked out my new chicken nutrition course, Feeding Your Hens Right, which comes out in January, head over to feedingyourhensright.com. All one word, to take a look. Thanks again for listening to this episode of What the Cluck, and I'll see you next time.